cliffcentral.com. And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, Father.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
You people are so sick.
What the fuck are you saying?
Halala, my priest, halala. Halala, limbobo, halala. Halala, hunting, halala. Halala, KwaZulu Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Good morning, everybody. From a cold and chilly and slightly dry Johannesburg. It's cold. It's kind of like Caitlin's private parts this morning.
Oh,
so it is. Yeah,
you got proof, do you?
Well, I would imagine. I mean, I'm just thinking biologically. That's how it kind of must be most of the time.
10 yep. minutes past six, no? and we yep. are now second no. Caitlin reference.
We just started. We're just getting warmed up, which is probably what a lot of people are thinking this morning. Ooh, yeah, you're going to have to get used to this wintery thing for a little while, I'm afraid. It's only May. Mm. It's the 22nd already, so May's almost done. But, you know, basically June, July, August is still cold. By September, it starts to get a little better. You have 3 months of winter. We'll be okay. Mm. We'll make it. The only thing that we've got to do is try to conserve our energy, because there's going to be a lot of stupidity in politics over the next couple of months. I don't know if you were listening to any of these politicians over the weekend, but Cyril had things to say, Blade had things to say, the president had things to say. They're all talking.
All about the same thing, or are they just having their just general rantings?
You know what I love is, like, politicians have two alternate realities in their heads at any given time.
They've two heads.
Well, yes, the two heads are better than one. In the case of our president, you could actually see the second head developing. Now, what makes them interesting is that they have a genuine desire, usually for self-enrichment, advancement of themselves and their interests, their families, all that kind of thing. That's the part that they never tell you about, but that's what really drives them. Because you think about it. Someone said to me over the weekend, yeah, you know, you should think about going into politics. And we've addressed this before. I would never do that.
No, why would you punish yourself that way?
See, that's how you see it as well. I'm so glad I don't have to explain this to my buddy, but I sat there with this dude and I said to him, look, what's the plus? You're basically giving up your life, your independence, your ability to live and enjoy yourself and be around your friends and your family and, you know, have a weekend, and you're giving that up so that you can serve people? I mean, that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is you're giving all that up and then you build yourself a little corrupt nest egg.
This is probably why all politicians are quite shitty then, because people get into it because they've got no other way of making money and they have no life
they don't have
to sacrifice.
Look, you've got to give them credit. They are so fixed on that goal. Now, again, there are politicians who break the rules, but they're just moron. Yeah. I mean, why would you be? You're a moron. You've got, what's the upside of being a really good, genuine servant of the people? I mean, unless you're going to be Nelson Mandela and change the world, what value? Let's say you're an MP for the IFP. Okay. You're one of their, I don't know, they got like 20 of them in Parliament. All right, so you're one of their MPs. Let's say you're the most ethical, decent, community-oriented, tries to help the people of their constituency, you like the poor, all that sort of thing. You really want to help people. Let's say that's your thing. What a horrible life you're about to have. What's going to happen here? Like, how does your life become fantastic? And this is where politicians, I say, they have two alternate realities in their heads. Most of us, we try to live the best life we can, right? Mm-hmm. You try to do the right thing. You try to make a bit of money. You try to live as comfortably as possible. Try to spread a bit of good around. But you don't have to have other humans vote about whether or not you're good enough to stay there or not. You don't need their say-so. Obviously, you know, there's a little bit of to and fro at work. There's a little bit of, are you doing your job the best way you can in every job? But in politics, every 4 years, 5 years, you have to go and be evaluated again by people who don't even know you. How's that fun? How's that good? Who wants to do that? A psychopath is the answer.
Oh, okay. Whoa, easy, Lau.
We have
easy.
Really escalated.
We have very quickly gone from one extreme to the next.
Okay, well then let's not say psychopath. Let's say someone who is either...
Who just has their own agenda.
Well, but this is what I was saying.
Whatever it may be.
That agenda. It's either that or you're just one of those really amazing people who doesn't put yourself first. Great, there are people like that. Social workers and nurses and doctors and teachers. You know, these are people, policemen, they put themselves first. I mean, they put themselves second, they put other people first.
In my mind, those are the real civil or public servants.
They are. And they take their instructions from?
Some politician.
Ugh.
I mean, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, so Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, Bashar al-Assad...
Hmm. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, Jacob Zuma. So which of these people that I've named so far are inherently good people?
No.
Oh, none? Oh, okay. Well, there you go then.
See, that's the point. And you get those breakout once-in-a-lifetime type politicians. You know, your Nelson Mandelas, your Winston Churchills. These are people who, they just are in the right place at the right time and they just have the right personality to make it all work. We know these are good people. Because they kept the world in a good place, or made it better. But man, and most of these guys, you look at these politicians, you think, ugh.
They've kind of tainted the image of politicians. You know, Some people have just made it seem like the whole lot of them are just corrupt.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
So, I don't even
really
know. I don't even know how. I think we got onto we got onto this because there were so many of them talking over the weekend.
Right. Which never means anything really good.
No, and my point about bringing them up was that they all have one message that they speak to the public, but you know when Blade says, because he's got that high pitched voice. When he says we've got to change the ANC and this is not my ANC and well. This is the guy who rode Jacob Zuma into government in 2007, 8, 9, somewhere around there, and who was a loyal servant to the president for the longest time. Now suddenly doesn't suit him anymore. So you listen to him saying that and you're thinking, but I know what you said before and it wasn't this. So what, have you just woken up now? Now we're meant to treat you like some kind of... prophet.
Some selective conscience guru here.
Yeah. You're like, you're not a prophet. We know what you are. You're a duplicitous politician. You can see the tides are turning and you want to survive. That's all. So the public Blade is saying, the ANC is bad. Just get rid of the president. The real Blade is busy going, survival. Get some grip on the precipice and pull yourself up before it's too late. That's the real Blade. You could see the desperation in his eyes.
Well, it's time for a change in strategy, isn't it?
Mm.
So I guess that's what they're all doing.
That's it. Survival mode now.
See, this is just like Game of Thrones. The guy who owned the whole houses.
Yeah.
And he thought he was doing well. Suddenly, like, you know, he wasn't that rich. Then he would have to be nice to Cersei and all the rest of them. Ugh.
And then you hear Cyril. And you know, we all know, Cyril's been sitting on his hands for what? 4 years?
Well, for as long as it suited him.
Yeah. He must have warm hands now. It's been a long time.
Cyril's sitting in his hands. You can hear crickets while President Zuma's doing this and doing that and screwing up here and screwing up there. All you hear is crickets. And then suddenly, you know, because Cyril can see the writing on the wall. It's going to be him and Kwasasana and this is his big chance. And now he has to suddenly man up, do what he needs to do. And now he's talking about we need to retake leadership in this country. And that's the public Cyril. And then the secret Cyril is busy going, survive. Do what you have to do to survive.
Why were they all speaking this weekend? I read something about by-elections in KZN.
Yes,
what does that mean?
But you know, they never do anything if there isn't something motivating it. So that is a good question to ask.
But the president spoke in KZN this weekend, which was something that I read were by-elections in to northern KZN.
Yeah.
And he said that you are blessed if you are in the ANC.
Well, those I mean, some of them are, yes.
It's actually not lying, yeah.
Some of them really are blessed. Yeah, their bank accounts are enough to prove that point.
Oh, that's the type of blessing
you're When you're in one of those blue light brigades, you are blessed. You are really blessed. When you got that soft touch of German interior in that BMW or Mercedes,
you better believe it. When you can ask a subordinate to show you what's under there.
Oh, do you remember that?
In nudes, you are blessed, baby.
C-L-I-T, baby. That's what he wanted. You know who we're talking about now? Because Jeff Radebe spent the whole weekend sweating bullets.
Oh my goodness.
See, this is what I was saying about the downside of politics. Nobody, look, there might be a bit of a scandal if I end up like trying to hit on one of my staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm just I'm a private individual. I'm not running for office, so don't vote for me. Big deal. But if Jeff Radebe does this,
oof,
and he's married to Bridget, who's a Motsepe. See, often we talk about how the money is, if someone gave you enough money, you'd shut up and do what they told you, you know.
Yes.
Be happy and spend the cash. Well, even the Motsepe money isn't enough for some people. Turns out Jeff Radebe, who's actually charming and soft-spoken and seems to have... You know, he seems to have the kind of the ingredients of being a decent person.
Our moral compass.
Exactly. He, turns out, is doing what all greedy, sif old men in their 60s do. And hitting on a girl like 30 years younger than him, who works for him because he's got power over her.
Oh.
It's the same old story since men started walking upright. As soon as we got a little position of power, what do we use it for? We either use it to dominate in terms of power, or we use it to get sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's all men do. We're so easy to read. No wonder women laugh at us when we walk out of the room. Jeff Radebe is married to Bridget, beautiful woman, rich family, supportive of his political career. He's been the longest serving cabinet minister since the Mandela era.
Mm.
Just needs nudes. Just wants to see pussy. He just is hankering for some younger pussy.
We are so simple.
He can't help himself. He's like a slavering bulldog at the porridge bowl as soon as some hot little girl walks by. It's just so disappointing, isn't it?
Vagina pussy.
Yeah.
That's what runs the world.
That is it. Beyonce was right in 90% of respects, but she just got the word wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Beyonce, you understand, couldn't say the P word because it just doesn't look good if she says, so she just said girls. But what she really meant was...
It's her little girl.
Anyway, let's change the subject for the moment. We can get back to Jeff in a little while because I know he's going to be all over the news this morning. It's 21 after 6, cliffcentral.com. If you've just woken up and turned us on and... You always turn us on. Then this morning, we've got lots to get into. You mentioned Beyonce. I spent yesterday from about, what was it, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to like where this is going.
I was watching Beyonce.
I love it even more now.
We'll see it with you. This sounds like a great day together.
Please hang on, because you might not like it all.
Oh, no.
I think this woman is a force of nature, and I'm really impressed at what she's been able to do because she has completely taken control of the music scene. And it's like she's spinning that plate with one hand, the whole music scene. She's got it going with one hand. And with the other hand, she's doing other magic. She's a
Beyonce. She's a human.
Yeah, there's no other way to describe it. What I was watching was particularly the Kennedy Center Honors,
mm-hmm.
which they do every year. And they honor, you know, a bunch of artists, playwrights and writers and actors and musicians. And Beyonce was there performing for a couple of these. I think she performed for...
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner. She performed for Carole King. She performed for Diana Ross. Mm-hmm. I just watched so many of them, and they all blurred into one. But each performance was better than the next, you know? Or better than the previous one. My God, she was good.
Sure.
So, you know, again, credit where it's due. Is Sarah on Skype or on the phone? Hmm?
Skype.
Skype. All right, let's go to Skype. See if Sarah's there. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, people. How are you?
What the hell's up with you?
I'm good. I just wanted to tell you guys a story that I'm currently going through in relation to the story you just told about some politician of yours.
Yeah.
Who's hitting on some young chick. And I relate because I am going through a very uncomfortable situation with my boss. I know he doesn't listen, so it's safe.
Good.
And so he, this weekend was absolutely crazy. He's actually, I like my job. I like my situation. I'm actually fairly good at what I do, and I respect him a lot. But now this weekend, he started hitting on me when I joined the company about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it stopped last year in February about Valentine's. Then, you know, at the time it was so weird because he would write messages. It's like he doesn't have friends to tell him that you don't put that shit on paper.
Yeah.
So he wrote me all manner of WhatsApp messages. I love you. This is how the relationship is going to work. As in, he spelled it out for me. Sure. He's like, 9 to 5, we are colleagues. After 5, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, you don't have friends who tell you you're married. You are the owner of the company. You can't write anyway. Since, well, I have a sense of respect and morals, that story ended. I told him, look, I am a Christian. Yeah, right. I'm a Christian. I was taught well. I don't do such shit. Jesus is Lord. He's Indian. He's like proper Indian, you know, right, these kind of things.
Okay.
So I mean, and I know his whole family. It's a family business. So it's absolutely disgusting. And you should see, man. Oh, my God.
Is he hideous to look at as well? If he was better looking, you might have thought about it, right?
He came back again. Sorry?
If he was better looking, you might have thought about it.
No, here's the thing. First of all, he looks like a toad. Second of all, he's a mean dude. There's no way he's going to take me. Third, why am I sleeping with him? I already have the job. I already have the money. What is it? Anyway, long story cut short, he insisted on coming to my house on Saturday. Why? Because I want to get to know you.
Oh, please.
What I'm trying to understand, dude, I mean, where do men come off? What is it?
You know,
what's the power thing about? I mean,
I've got to say, like, again, men, we're just very primitive, very simple creatures. And this is why I do believe that there's a lot of mental and emotional evolution necessary that for some reason we've just stunted at some point and we haven't been able to get past it. I'm guilty of it. Most guys are. You get very quickly distracted.
Okay, you're smart, right? Yeah, but okay, tell me something just from a guy's point of view. You say, okay, sorry, Mabs. So you and Mabs, right? You have a good thing going, you know, she's good at what she does, blah blah.
Oh, you found out about us.
And you have a and you guys have a connection, you know, like that's why you're good at what you do. So at which point do you, the guy with a ding-a-ling, start thinking, this thing might as well just turn sexual right here, right now?
Well, with my belly, it started straight away.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
Sorry, Mabs.
But you know what? I think it also has to do with, so for example, some girls will accommodate that kind of thing and they'll say yes. So I think...
Well, hell no.
Well, I mean, this is the real world that we live in. And I think a lot of men keep trying because, you know, with every 10 girls that they try with, maybe 2 or 3 will say yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So they will keep trying because they know at some point someone is going to say, yeah, okay, sure, let's do it.
Look,
what if I say no and I get fired?
No. That is why you have to screenshot every single thing that he has sent you so that you have, you know, evidence to back your story.
No. Look, he's really between a rock and a hard place here. He can't get rid of you if you don't want to sleep with him. And if you did want to sleep with him, you still could have had the upper hand because as long as you've got evidence of all these messages, you're good.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you know, this is the interesting thing about technology is it's now possible to prove that this guy was just doing this from the beginning. And before it would have been your word against his.
Yeah.
You know, in the absence of any kind of physical evidence, and you would have had to prove somehow or another, and they always take the man's side, well, they used to in history.
Mm.
So as the girl, you were some kind of temptress, you know. You were trying to draw him near and take advantage, and you were trying to climb the corporate ladder, blah, blah, blah. Now you can prove that that's not the case. You can do what this girl with Jeff Radebe did, and she's got all these messages from him. And my God, out of context, don't we sound so creepy when we say, like, why don't you show me your CLIT? Such a creepy old man thing to do.
Guys, don't you see this is another example why we are so inferior to animals? Can you imagine, like, lions, right? Now, this guy's this toad guy, right? Just think in lion terms. He's well past his alpha prime, right? He's hanging around.
Actually, do you know we call him a lion in the office? Like, his nickname is Simba. Simba is, that's what we call him.
Okay, right, so
this is a good example.
Okay, so just imagine this, right? Simba is now hanging around, his old ass is hanging around all you young lions. And one day he reckons, okay, I'm going to have that young lion there. The other men would chase his old ass out of the pride. He would be like in the neighboring savannah within 2 minutes because it's not natural.
it's just
silly.
And here's the thing, like Jeff Radebe is in his 60s. Now, I really hope, I've harbored this desire that somehow, because, you know, we all want to improve, that somehow by the time I get to my 50s and 60s, I'll just have calmed down a little bit, not be such an animal. And I mean, don't disrespect to the animals. Look at these guys in their 60s. They're almost worse than the guys in their 20s and 30s.
Yep. Can say that again.
There's no hope. There's no hope. We're screwed.
Oh,
it's
true, no. What do we do now?
No, you girls just have to. You have to either put up or put out or keep the screen saved messages.
You know what? I mean,
I'm doing that. Uh-huh.
It's about leverage at this point.
Yeah.
If you can get something out of it, but still manage to not incriminate yourself, and that's what you want to do, then do it. I mean, honestly, at this point, every woman for herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Leverage, leverage, leverage.
Anyway, listen.
And he's a meanie. Like, he doesn't even spend on himself, you know? So I don't think I was going to get my mortgage paid off. Nothing.
No.
Nah.
I mean, at least the blessees, you know, they get something out of the deal.
You know,
You're going to get nothing.
Anyway.
All right.
Sarah, little problem of mine.
Well, we're
glad you guys could help.
Yeah, we're here for you. I mean, you can tell us more as things, hopefully they don't develop. But this poor wife of this guy, I feel so sorry for her.
Yeah.
Well, it's just embarrassing for her.
It is. You know, I'm like a minion. Like, you know, last weekend we had a function and it went very well. And it was, you know, a marketing function. So, and she was there, the kids were there, you know, and I was doing my thing. And I could see she was looking at me from the corner of my eye of like, oh, another minion. Okay, fine. And I'm thinking, dude, you don't have respect even for yourself.
Yeah, it's terrible, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Meh. Okay, right, I'll survive.
Yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
All right, thank you, honey.
All right.
Bye-bye. There we go. There's Sarah. She's on the line from Kenya.
Man.
One of our super fan regulars. Love
she
her.
Sounds so nice. Like, she deserves whatever she can get in life, really. And this old man, just to put up with that stuff.
It's just, isn't it amazing? Like, these guys have such an opinion of themselves. You're 60, you're on the decline. Most humans aren't even meant to live to their 50s.
You know, we actually need a team creepy old man, because we need these guys to defend themselves, right? When you're 60, you've got nothing to look forward to. If any of us are going to be 60, and again, I'm not condoning what this guy's doing, but this is his last shot of anything. If you're in his position,
what would you do?
No, but this is, again, it's like we must self-regulate in society, right? He's going to do that, and you can't exactly say, well, this guy's not going to give it a go. What would you rather him do? Go home and cry into a pillow? He's going to try hook up with young girls, right?
Yeah.
But this is where the difference comes. Her job must never be under jeopardy. Mm. She must never feel like she's unsafe. And this is where the problem comes in. He will always do it because that's instant kicking in. But the problem lies here if Sarah's life ever gets compromised.
Well, she sounds like she's more together than he is. Like, she's got control of her feelings, and she's got control of her own desires. So she's going to win. In the end, she'll win.
That's what we hope.
I feel so bad for that poor old Bridget Radebe. Imagine she walks out. Now, everywhere she goes, people then look at her differently.
Yeah, definitely. It's
so embarrassing. She's done nothing.
She's done absolutely nothing. You know? It's so embarrassing for her.
And there's still those people who will say, oh, well, it's the woman's fault. You know, there are. They're those people.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are girls.
Sure,
they will
you know.
Go, oh, well, she didn't look after her man. There's no way you could lasso that creep. You tried.
No. In a lot of ways, the way that a lot of women think needs to be deprogrammed.
All right. Well, we'll get into that. I want to tell you more about that because I had some observations about Beyonce, but we'll talk about that when we've got a moment. It is time now for us to get into some news with Mabale Moloi. Hey, it's a Monday, which means with Colcacchio's Pizzeria, you could buy one, get one on them.
Nice.
It runs from the month of May until the month of August. Any gourmet pizza, and you will get a second gourmet or classic pizza free. Did you hear that?
Say it again.
Free. Available nationwide at all Colcacchio pizzerias and Mio Colcacchio pizzerias. The less expensive pizza is free. In-store or takeaway only. No delivery. T's and C's apply. You know how nice it would be? You think about that colleague at work that you you need to mend fences with. Maybe they just annoyed you for the longest time and they think that you're a douche. And you've never really got along. You head over to Colcacchio's and you decide, I'm going to do something really nice here and just win them over forever. You say to them, what kind of pizzas do you usually eat? And they go, I like a Regina. And you go, You go off to the Colcacchio's. You pick up your pizza, which is much nicer than that. And you buy them a Regina. And you bring it back to the office. You say, here. And they go, you bought me a pizza? You go, yep. Cost me a fortune, but there it is. Meanwhile, you got it for free. You've got them for life.
Yeah, because pizzas are primo things. Like getting someone a sandwich or like a coffee or a cookie, but pizza's next level.
You buy them a pizza, that's next level. So in-store or takeaway only, no delivery, T's and C's apply. That's the least expensive pizza for free today specials at Colcacchio Pizzeria. Make sure you take advantage of that ASAP. It is time for the news. Mabale Moloi.
I love it. This I don't love so much. So Dr. Makosi Khoza, we like her on this show, right?
Now there's a politician I could deal with.
Absolutely.
So she has again come through, and this time through a Facebook post, to just remind us all that she is living in fear of her life.
Oh no.
Most recently after receiving threats from the ANC Youth League.
God, Jesus.
Oros and company. Yeah, well, I mean, oh gosh, they are so annoying.
Oros. Yeah.
The MP, the ANC MP, Makosi Khoza, says she fears for her life after receiving several threats from the Youth League. Khoza says the threats came after a Facebook post where she stated that there's one moral conscience. It's not, these things come in levels, you see.
There's moral, compass.
There's moral compass.
And then there's moral conscience.
Yeah, so.
Our moral compass.
In her Facebook post, she stated that one's moral conscience cannot be divorced from their political choices and decisions. The Youth League has been calling for Makosi Khoza to resign because they feel that they're well within their rights to do that.
Why doesn't Oros resign?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. If we could just,
what would he do?
If we could just turn this situation on its head, go to Oros and start threatening him and say, well, why don't you resign?
Resign, I mean, Oros.
What do you think he would say? How dare you ask somebody else to resign, and for what good reason?
Our moral compass.
They've also threatened that they will picket outside her house.
Oh, please, there are only about 10 of them. Go for it.
And every event that she attends. So essentially,
do you remember when they said they were going to protest Standard Bank? They went to the wrong Standard Bank branch and there were only five of them. And they had one crummy sign and everybody was embarrassed. People driving past in traffic were hanging their heads in shame. And they said, this is what's become of the ANC Youth League of Nelson Mandela. Are you kidding me? Go for it, Oros.
Yeah, so Khoza says that she also fears for the safety of her children. Because, you know, remember not too long ago I was telling you about some or other apparent hit list that a few people, their names ended up on this list. This
But why doesn't, I mean, this is where the president, if you were a leader and one of your people, Makosi Khoza, was being threatened, she's one of your people by other people who you are meant to be in control. That's where you go out publicly on television and you say, listen to me. You ANC Youth League, you fat little trolls. And you shut up and you get in your box and you behave yourself, or I'll do to you what I did to the ANC Youth League under Julius. I removed the whole lot of you. We'll do the same to you, Oros. Behave yourself in your box. Don't you dare threaten this woman. That's what a leader would do. Instead, this one sits in his house going,
And the only reason that Makosi Khoza is receiving threats is because she said some things that about the ANC him. Youth yeah. League don't well, like.
Exactly.
Also, she's a woman. Imagine some guy said that, they'd probably just laugh it off.
Now, she added, can we please strengthen this democracy? Let's not resort to violence when we disagree with our fellow South Africans or comrades. We need to grow. I can't be subjected to the same conditions as I went through in the 1980s, back in her KZN days. So essentially, you know, her own organization threatening her with all sorts of ridiculous things.
We don't even know her story. I mean, that sounds to me like she's been through some tough times. And to have to now put up with some fat child telling her that she's on a hit list. I mean, how outrageous is that from Oros?
Well, look, she didn't say that she's on a hit list. I'm just reminding you of that one story where there, you know, there were a few people, like Cyril Ramaphosa, for example, saying that he discovered he was on some other hit list. But yeah, so Makosi Khoza are having a tough time. In what's been a couple of weeks of bad news, I suppose it's a relief to get a good news story every now and again.
Let's hear it.
The Gauteng Social Development Department has welcomed the rescue of 5 teenage girls who were used as sex slaves. All of this went down in the East Rand in Springs. The girls were aged between 14 and 19 years. They have been taken to a place of safety where they'll receive rehabilitation. You know, I suppose law enforcement officials have been forced to, you know, have a good news story of some sorts in light of the past couple of weeks where we've just been hearing horrible stories about what's happening to young girls and women in this country. These girls were rescued on Friday afternoon when police received a tip-off about trafficking in the area. A 42-year-old man and a 17-year-old girl were arrested and will be appearing on charges of human trafficking today. And you see, here's the thing, is a lot of times where you hear stories about women being trafficked, the man has always enlisted the help of a woman to help in this operation.
We were just referencing Advocate Barbie on Friday.
We spoke to Liesl Tom about that.
So, you know, these women in these cases should also just, you know, they should face the same might, if you will, that a lot of the men are put under when they are discovered to be assisting these people. But then again, she's 17 years old, so you have to wonder how much of a say did she have in it initially? You know, was she... You know, was she compromised? Was she in a compromising position? So there's a lot to unpack here. But yeah, at least 5 girls were rescued over the weekend in the East Rand. And then over in Kim Jong-un land, he is enjoying playing with his big boy toys. These would be, you know, weapons, because he has been running missile test after missile test. And after the most recent missile tests, North Korea have said that they are ready for deployment. We don't know who exactly the target is, but I'm sure people can, you know, hazard a few guesses. North Korea saying this Monday morning, they have successfully tested an intermediate range ballistic missile to confirm the reliability of the late-stage guidance of the nuclear warhead. Kim Jong-un, the leader, was there to supervise the test, and he was very excited about the whole thing. And essentially, North Korea are letting everybody know
that
are ready to deploy anything and everything should they feel like it, is basically what they're saying.
Yeah, well, we're all shaking in our boots. That guy's like he's just a North Korean version of Oros.
He really has been conducting a whole series of tests of late.
What an exciting life for that fat child. I mean, in any other place, in any other time, he would be a kid that would be teased and bullied at school. But because his daddy and his granddaddy run their own fiefdom in the only part of the world that doesn't have the internet, he can carry on like this. There's no way this is the fittest. He's not survival of that is counter-evolutionary. Talk about counter-revolutionary. He's counter-evolutionary that some kid like that with no extraordinary talent whatsoever. He's got no talent. He's got nothing special going on. That he should be in charge of a whole country of people who, by the way, are starving and miserable. They just don't know any better because they don't have any information.
But you know, like small kids, they don't really think things through. They just want to be petulant or whatever it is. So if he bombs other parts of the world, what's his next step? Does he want to conquer countries? Or
he's not thinking about that.
Is he just throwing shit? Basically,
it's a kid with toys. That's why I say he's just a overgrown Oros. Leave him. Don't worry. Got other things to worry about. Much more important. Leave this kid. In any case, every time they've tested anything, it falls in the sea. So,
which I'm surprised Greenpeace hasn't kicked up a stink about. I mean, this can't be good for the environment, throwing all these missiles in there. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that the Japs are overfishing that whole thing anyway.
Japanese. No.
Sorry.
Yeah, can't say Japs. That's very racist.
Sorry. Again. Kim Jong-un makes me very angry.
You brought the Japs in. How can you say that?
I'm throwing off my center.
What's next, Ben? Ben with a bit of fresh racism in the morning. All right, let's go straight to Ben and find out what's going on in the sport. And hopefully he can refrain from too many racist epithets. There's your theme music, Ben. Take it away.
Right, so Super Rugby from the weekend. There was a match in Fiji.
Yes.
Why, you may ask? Well, New Zealand have been plundering Fiji for quite some time of talent and all kinds of players. So they've decided to throw some money back at them, which is quite nice. Long overdue.
All right.
All Blacks actually played a test there as well the last couple of years. So it's quite nice to see it because this is what Super Rugby should be doing. This whole thing about globalizing rugby and throwing it around and going to places like Japan, it's a really good idea. And there was a good crowd for Fiji from Fiji. They put together a whole bunch of people. And obviously they've been supporting these teams for quite a long time because their cousins and brothers and sons have been playing for these teams. So down to the actual rugby. The Chiefs, I really thought this could be a game where the Crusaders will finally lose, but no. These guys are just so, so rock solid. Even without the few stars that they do have, the Crusaders beat the Chiefs 31-24, so they now stay unbeaten. The Stormers then took on the Blues at Newlands, and strange match, mostly boring. The ref kind of made an ass of himself from here and there. Blues got a red card with some time left, and the Stormers won that one 30-22. Hurricanes, they beat the Cheetahs 61-7. It was relatively close in the first half, but like most things, the New Zealanders are fitter, stronger, smarter, faster, everything. And 61-7 just shows that once you kind of get a South African team down, they often just fall to pieces. The Highlanders also put in a huge performance against the Force. Didn't see this one coming. Well, obviously the Highlanders were going to win this one, but 55-6? Big surprise. The Sharks, they went to Singapore to play Japanese team, the Sunwolves. 38-17, the Sharks win that one. The Japanese team no doubt felt they had a chance after the Sharks were so piss poor last week, but no. 38-17, comprehensive. The Lions then took on the Bulls at Ellis Park and, well, talk about comprehensive, 51-14. It's got to be another nail in the coffin of Nolas Maré.
Oh, shame. Poor Nolas. How many nails has his coffin got?
It's a big coffin, I think, Earth. It really is. And everyone's kind of putting their own nail in and have been doing so for weeks. So this guy's really, I mean, it's pretty uncertain if he's going to stick around much longer. And there's not much he can do, but there's bigger problems than just Nolas at the Bulls. And the Lions, well, they left quite a few points out in that field. Huh? There was big chunks of that second half where they just did nothing score-wise. And yep. They scored right at the death to take it to 50. But the Bulls, oh, it's just so worrying. As a Bulls fan right now, it can't be happy times. The Kings, well, they were brave against the Brumbies. I can't say much more than that. The Brumbies had the bulk of possession, territory, pretty much everything. 19-10 eventually, the Aussie team won there. And it's the first time an Aussie side has beaten a South African side in South Africa this year. They've been so terrible. The Brumbies, of course, the best Aussie side, which doesn't mean much. But a good win there. Waratahs, then they hammered the Rebels 50-23. But the big rugby for the weekend was probably the London Sevens. Scotland, when did these guys get so good? Well, they won the London Sevens last year. And this year, again, they were bloody good. They got through to the finals after beating New Zealand. They came back 24-0 down against New Zealand. New Zealand up to their old tricks again. They had 8 men on the field. They're playing in a Sevens tournament with 8 men. Work that one out. And whichever way you want to spin it, they're a bunch of cheats. Anyway, Scotland came
back.
That's
one way to spin. Don't worry, Ben will go straight to the core of it for you.
Yeah. Gareth, I mean, it's in the title. You're a sevens team, you've got 8 guys in the field. And it's not the first time either. They did it against the Blitzbox as well. Bunch of pricks.
But somebody allowed them to have 8 guys on that field.
Yeah, sure. But this is they're cheats. But like the authorities, it's New Zealand. Oh, it's a shame. They do this little song and dance before the game and they steal players from Fiji. Pricks. Anyway, Scotland got through that though. They were 24-0 down, they still won. And then they went on and they beat England in the final at Twickenham. Wow, that was incredible. The Blitzbox unfortunately lost to England in the quarterfinals. Last minute try by that Norton guy who's incredible. So they finished 5th in the London Sevens, but of course they are the world champions. And they will be returning back to SA as world champions. It sounds good that, world champions. Don't often get to say that here on the sport. For local teams. In the football, English Premier League, well, Chelsea, we all knew they'd get the 30th win. They played against Sunderland 5-1. Big win there. John Terry made it mostly about him, though. He decided to walk off the field at 26 minutes, and he got a guard of honour for doing so. which is quite a lot considering the fact that he cheats on his wife and he's a bit of an all-round dickhead. Arsenal beat Everton 3-1. Man City beat Watford 5-0. Liverpool beat Middlesbrough 3-0. So all the teams that had to win big over the weekend did win big. But because Liverpool didn't slip up, Arsenal, there they go to the Europa League next year. First time in 20 years. New thing for Arsene Wenger horrendous. To finish outside of the top four. But after the season they just had, no major surprise. Man United had a very, very young team. So young, a 16-year-old boy played for them over the weekend.
Wow.
You know, Jose couldn't be asked to actually really care about this match because Wednesday's final in the Europa League is the big thing. Well, he put it, basically everyone he's been carrying water bottles, he's been giving massages, whatever, he threw them all out in the field there, and they beat Crystal Palace 2-0. But just think, this Angel Gomez, 16 years old, right? He replaced Wayne Rooney. When this guy was born, Wayne Rooney was already into those granny prostitutes. Shows you how amazing the circle of life at that club. And this next generation could do wonders. Gomez is actually the cousin of Nani. Nani? Nani?
You're making this up again.
Yeah, so he's got football in his family. And at 16, hey, look at that. He is the current England under-17 captain.
That has got to be cool when you go back to school.
Yeah.
16 years old. You're like, what did you do this weekend?
I replaced Wayne Rooney at Old Trafford.
That's fantastic.
That's me. And that is why pretty girls talk to me. That way. And Spurs, they beat Hull 7-1. So Spurs were the best attack, the best goals, everything, but they didn't actually win anything this season, but still. That is a big result there. 13 goals in the last two games. Great way to finish second. In La Liga, Real Madrid won the title there for the first time in 5 years. That is Zinedine Zidane's first league title. Of course, these guys are probably looking good to win the Champions League. Bayern Munich won the German title, always, obviously. And then Monaco won it in France. In Nedbank Cup, Pirates and Supersport United are through to the final, which will be a repeat of last year's final, 24th of June. Look out for that. In the cricket, the Mumbai Indians finally won the IPL. I'm telling you that because now the IPL is finished. On to real cricket we go. Proteas versus England. First ODI on Wednesday. Bloody hell, this is exciting stuff. Three ODI series before the Champions Trophy. In golf, all three tournaments from the world of golf all ended in, the big three that we would look at, all ended in playoffs. Mm-hmm. Locally, in the Lombard Insurance Classic, Oliver Becker beat Justin Harding in the playoff. In the AT&T Byron Nelson on the USPGA Tour, Billy Horschel beat Jason Day in the playoff. And then in the Rocco Forte Open, Alvaro Quiroz beat Zander Lombard from South Africa in a playoff as well. It's the first time Quiroz has won since 2011.
Wow.
And then finally in tennis, a 20-year-old person called Alexander Zverev. Alexander Zverev beat Novak Djokovic in the Rome Masters.
This is quite an extraordinary thing, and I'm not talking about his surname.
Really?
20 years old. He's the first, millennial, so to speak, to win a Masters Championship. When I say millennial, obviously,
what's happened to Djokovic? He is not winning like he used to these days.
He's not, but he's coming back. He's definitely coming back. He's in the right direction, other than like Andy Murray. He's going the other way. And Djokovic now has Andre Agassi as his coach, which will hopefully mean great things hairstyle-wise, because ultimately Djokovic will come back talent-wise.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Gareth, how did I do? I didn't say anything inappropriate there.
No, you did great. That was a 10 out of 10.
Back on track.
Let's take our attention now and turn it towards our wallets. It's time for the Money Shot with Anthea Gardner, what everybody looks forward to first thing on a Monday morning. Here it is, and here she is. Why am I giving you that music? That's not your music. I'm sorry. Press the wrong button. How rude. We got to do this properly. Let's go to the original. Here she is.
Anthea. He looks hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
All right, Anthea. Good morning.
Good morning. Do love that song.
Listen, Friday wasn't bad, huh?
Not at all, no. We were up 0.4% despite the stronger rand, which was quite nice. So now we're currently 13.23 to the dollar, 14.84 to the euro, 17.23 to the pound. Most of the major indices were up. Industrials and resources strongly up. Financials were down, although banks were, they kind of held it together, really, except for Nedbank. It was down almost 1% after they put out a trading statement. And you know, it's with the banks, it's all about the numbers. But in kind of basically, they saw net interest income grow in mid-single digits. So really not great. And I think just another one of those companies where management are saying, you know, it's a challenging environment. They're worried about business and consumer confidence.
It really is for banks at the moment, right?
Absolutely.
It's not great for them.
Yeah. And we've got the SARB putting out their interest rate decision on Thursday, and that impacts banks either negatively or positively, obviously. And actually, the funny thing about banks is the higher interest rate helps them make money because they charge a percentage above what the interest rate is. Well, they charge us a percentage. And so obviously, a percentage on a higher number is a higher nominal, right?
Mm.
But I think, unfortunately for the banks, the rate on Thursday will be unchanged. And in fact, Lesetša Kanyako has been saying that don't think this is a turnaround, and that he's going to cut interest rates. So he's kind of warned us against that. He said, don't get too excited. It would be nice if he cut, because then it would help GDP growth. But,
oh, hell yes, because people also, I mean, so many people are in debt. We had this discussion the other day. We're talking to someone a bit later on this morning, actually, about ways you could save money and cut down your debt. But we'll talk about that in a while. In the meantime, if he does put interest rates up,
oh, no, that would be disastrous. So I don't think he would do that.
Oh, people are trying to pay things off.
So we've got CPI inflation coming out on Wednesday, and we might actually fall below 6% for the first time in ages, hopefully. And that'll help. That'll definitely help. Mm. You know, lots of things. We've seen some interesting macro data. Last week, we had the FNB Building Confidence Index, which is really just a measure of building plans that are passed or how they've met. And so you can see where the economy is going and where the people are building into the future. And the real value of building plans last week for the first quarter of this year showed that it dropped by 14%, over 14%. Yeah, so that's bad. That's very bad. And it's just saying that people are not looking to the future. You know, they're not looking for growth.
Well, we spoke on, I think it was Thursday or Friday morning, about General Motors. And I see Studdiford's have closed their stores.
Yes, I was shopping yesterday and saw in Rosebank that Studdiford's...
That's pretty terrible, huh?
I just thought they were kind of putting in new lines, but...
No. Oh, no. Wow. So we were talking last week about how they were trying to sell the stock they had now so they could buy new stock, and they obviously haven't been able... So they closed three stores.
Are they closed, or is it just a...
Nope, those stores are closed.
They're gone.
Yeah. So the Ellerines family were going to help Studdiford's out because they're big shareholders in High Prop Real Estate, which, in fact, I think all the Studdiford's stores are in the malls that are owned by High Prop. And so that was the idea, that maybe they'd help, but they decided not to, and there you go.
Wow.
159-year-old company. They still have some stores open.
Yeah, I heard they're only keeping like 5 stores, like their biggest or their best stores, or the 5 that they started off with. But it just seems so off.
This is bad. I mean, you know, Studdiford's, whether you like shopping there or not, they've been an institution in South Africa for the longest time. And it would be a very, very unfortunate thing if we saw them going down. But as I said, when we were talking about GM last week and this horrible statistic about how much construction is going on, these are the prices you pay for a downgrade. Mm. So all those people who said, oh, no, don't worry about a downgrade, it doesn't mean that much. Well, I'm terribly sorry to disagree, but here we have 3 very concrete examples of where people are going to lose jobs, where we've got businesses that are established over hundreds, maybe tens of years, that are closing down. And this is a very bad indicator for our country, full stop. Can't argue with it.
Exactly, because how do you replace those stores? You don't get tenants for the stores that big so quickly. And there's huge staff losses, and then all the different brands that try to sell to these people. That's a massive chunk out of their bottom line.
So I do actually think that the big stores, the H&Ms, the Zaras, will take big space. They're always looking for big space. And I guess that's half the problem, right? Globalization and competition and... Mm-hmm. There you go.
Maybe they're just not as competitive as they used to be, but don't think that it doesn't have anything to do with the macroeconomic indicators for South Africa.
And they'll get those big spaces at a good deal now as well. They'd go in there and say, right, your mall looks terrible with all this space. We'll take it for a quarter of what you want.
But you've hit the nail on the head, Ben, because empty space in a mall is a terrible thing, right?
It does look.
Anyway, couple of other companies performing quite nicely for us. Steinhoff was up over 6% on Friday. Oh. It's up 9.5% in 2 days. This is after the announcement that they were going to spin off their Africa retail assets and list them separately. So I think we're going to hold on to our Steinhoffs for a bit longer.
Okay.
I like that. Of course, we don't know exactly where it is. We don't know how much debt they're going to put into the Africa assets. So we'll see. And then Tongaat was up 4% as well. They put out a trading statement guiding for headline earnings per share to be up 45%, which is very nice. I guess sugar business doing okay. And now that they've had some rain, we should see that turn around. But the property business still really not living up to my expectations, unfortunately. They reported a 641 million rand profit when I think market was expecting over 800 million rand.
That's a lot of money to make out of sugar.
No, that's the property business. Oh,
okay.
No, the sugar business made 1.3 million rand, much more, twice that.
Billion?
No, million.
Million,
okay. No, not that much, unfortunately.
Oh. Well, that's bad news for Tim Noakes, I mean. Kind of flying in the face of what he believes.
Indeed.
All right.
And then Dis-Chem released their first ever full year set of results. The share was up 4.5%. I think this could be a turnaround story. Well, I mean, not a turnaround story. You've always loved it. I've always been nervous of it because I wanted to see the margins. I wanted to see what they were doing. And it's not cheap. It's on a 26 times 12-month forward price earnings ratio. It's a 26 rand share now. But they're showing things like they're gaining market share. Their margins are expanding. They've got improved cash generation through kind of their working capital management. Diluted headline earnings per share was still down 61%, so that's not great. But I think there's room to grow. I really do. And they look like they're just going to be a cash-generating business, and we love cash-generating businesses because mm-hmm. they pay us dividends.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess the question is now whether people are going to go for the convenience of a Clicks, a small store, or whether they're going to go for this big box format, like, you know, they have big stores in specific locations. What I'm intrigued about, none of the analysts are talking about the impact of the internet. And like, you would have thought that this kind of stuff that they sell is easy to buy on the internet. But maybe it's internet penetration in South Africa. That's the problem.
Okay.
And then lastly, Investec also reported. I don't even know where to start. There's so many numbers in this. So let's just say that not a great set of results. It was okay. Asset management operating profit was up 22%. We were expecting 30%. Their wealth management business was up 9%. We're expecting 19%. And on average, earnings per share increased 17%. So that means that actually the specialist bank, which is kind of their business mostly in the UK, has been the key driver of this outperformance. They've seen some net outflows in assets under management in their wealth management business and also asset management because of poor performance, investment performance. But I guess that's part of the deal when you're in that business. It's how you go through the cycle, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm surprised that markets are holding up so well with all this geopolitical stuff going on at the moment. And I see headline, as I opened my Bloomberg just a minute or two ago, or 5-10 minutes ago maybe, Ford says they replaced their CEO, Mark Fields, in a push to transform the business. Mm. I think that's going to be interesting. I think they're going to move more towards the EV, AV type cars than just your traditional old kind of combustion engines. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that would be a move.
Yeah. But I mean, that was just a headline, no story. So
okay.
We'll see. Maybe I'll tell you more about it tomorrow.
Always lots to talk about. Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure.
There we go.
Before you go, I just need one more point to this whole Studifers thing. You go onto their website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you buy online?
You can't.
You click on something, it gives you fluffy pictures about men in tight shirts and stuff. There's nothing here about, like, then you got to click on a brand. And then they don't even, like, give you any options.
Again, one of my favorite things to ask people. Is if 10 years ago someone had said to you, do you want shares in Edgar's or Studiford's? Studiford's never been a listed company, right?
No.
But if you could have had shares in them, would you have taken them or would you have taken a little Zando or
Take a lot,
Naspers, or any of those? What would you have rather taken? At that stage, you probably would have said, well, the big retailer, that's mm-hmm. the obvious one to go for. That's going to make a lot more cash.
Mm.
You'd be dumb.
Yeah.
The world's changing. You've got to stay with. This is a big warning to all those other companies that think that just because they've been there for 100 years, they're still going to be there in 100 years. You're not.
Exactly. There's junk status and there's just junk innovation. This is just stupid. This whole website is one big brochure for pretty people wearing things that you don't even know what they're wearing.
Well, thank you, Ben, for your vicious criticism.
My new retail analyst.
There we go. Ben just hops on, tears it down in a matter of seconds. All right, we've got lots more to tell you. Remind me, I've got to tell you about who I saw over the weekend.
Fun report
back to give you. So that's coming right up. But now, and for your pleasure, if your current phone doesn't have a 4-inch retina display, touch ID fingerprint sensor, and an 8-megapixel eyesight camera, that's all I have to say to you. Maybe it's time you moved over to iPhone to get all of this and so much more from your handset. That's right, for just $4.99, you can get the iPhone Lite bundle from iStore. That includes a new iPhone 5S 16GB, 200 Rand iStore voucher, plus entry into the draw for all new Apple products like the iPhone 7 and Apple Watch Series 2. That's right, you got to get in somehow. You know how they say with property, you got to get on the ladder?
Sure.
Well, similarly, if you're going to get onto iPhone, you got to get on the ladder somewhere. And for $4.99 for a brand new iPhone 5S 16GB and a 200 Rand iStore voucher to spend on accessories afterwards, that's not a bad place to start. Plus, you don't know, you could go into that draw and win the iPhone 7. That's right, Apple Watch Series 2 also for grabs there. So, head on to cliffcentral.com. There's an exclusive offer just for you. If you listen to us, then they've made this available to you. And all you need to do is go and look at the top right-hand corner of the cliffcentral.com website. You'll see store, shop. Go in there, buy. If you're going to buy a phone, this is the one for you, right? Click on the shop link to make it happen and let us know how it goes from there. It's going to change your life. Once you go iPhone, Ben?
You don't go anything else on iPhone?
Well, you didn't. You're on iPhone now. You used to sit there.
Under pressure there. Did I get that right or wrong?
I don't know what you... I don't even know what your answer was. Ridiculous. All right. When we come back, we can hit some news. We'll tell you all about what's going on in the world. And Mabali's got plenty of tricks up her sleeve. Don't forget, we've also got some exciting guests today, including Vusi Tembekwayo.
Yay!
I can't believe it's taken us so long to get this guy in here.
Goodness.
Because everybody knows him, and he's got such lucid points of view about how to deal with stuff. Simple stuff. How to make sense of this crazy world. So he's going to join us just after 8 o'clock.
What are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Communications and technology, of course. And who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms to the latest IT solutions and more, iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with a reliable connection as well as the necessary support and backup. Go to iConnectSA.co.za for more information. That's iConnectSA.co.za. iConnect, the one provider to manage all your communications.
CliffCentral.com.